This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drama. We're at the 38th Chess Olympiad in Dresden, Germany, and we're in the 11th round, and we just ended the FIDE Congress. They just had their last session, and I am sitting with Louis Nkube, who is from Zambia, and he is also the Vice President of FIDE. And first of all, I'd like to ask you to just correctly pronounce your name for us, because it's not a usual name.
Okay. Actually, the surname is pronounced Nkube.
Okay. So that's that click. You often hear that in South Africa and...
In South Africa, Zimbabwe, Swaziland, and sort of most of the areas in Southern Africa.
What does the name mean?
Ooh, the actual correct version is difficult to place, but it's sort of like an assistant or a helper to a king.
Okay, that sounds right.
That's something that I've heard of. Yeah.
So I guess that would be true if you're talking about Kirsten.
I suppose if you take that analogy, yes.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Over the years, we've been communicating about the chess environment in Africa and Zambia and other things. And how's the Olympiad been overall?
Well, I think overall, in terms of organization, things have gone well, but I think that the areas of concern were initially the registration process, because you had to register online, and quite a few federations who didn't have access to efficient internet internet process had difficulty in registering online. But again, there were certain confusions on deadlines. But when you came up to the start of the Olympiad, things appeared to have gone quite well, except one issue, which was the issue with visas. And a lot of federations had difficulty getting visas on time, and also getting confirmation from the organizers to the embassies as to whether the players who were asking for visas were genuinely traveling to Dresden for the Olympiad. I think that it's a very sort of difficult sort of point to really accept in terms of the organizers, because I feel that the organizers should have done much more. I know that they have said that they don't have any influence on the process, but if I look back, I know that in Istanbul and in, for example, an area which you would have said in Slovenia, for example, which maybe you would have said would have been more difficult to get visas for, right. It was very easy, the process was very easy, and people did manage to get visas on time. Turin as well, I mean, we got visas for the Zambian team in 24 hours, so I don't know whether that's a special case, but I tend to feel that the organizers could have done more in helping out the federations which were having difficulty. Maybe they didn't put in place a process that really was helpful to a lot of the participants, intending participants.
I know there was a number of different cases, one concerning Ethiopia, a player could not show personal finances, record of personal finances. I think also it was true for an arbiter from Botswana, and then you had a couple of other cases in Uganda where they couldn't get letters from the organizers. There's also Kunle Elegbede, who is an international coordinator for Nigeria, who could not get a visa from in the United States. So there seems to be some kind of systemic problems that need to be corrected. I know this came up in 2004 when Germany was bidding for this Olympiad, and they said everything would be managed. The mayor of Dresden made a presentation. He said all these things would be managed, and it's really been difficult for some of the smaller federations. So did anything come out of any of the meetings concerning 2010, and what kind of corrections would be made for the visas?
Well, concerning 2010, since that has already been awarded, really we couldn't sort of discuss in terms of putting in place or as part of the process, but questions were asked and we were given assurances that that would be addressed. I mean, because we're going to Russia and up north, and it will probably be more difficult to if we left it the way it is now. So I feel that from our part as FIDE, I think we're going to work towards ensuring that the organizers do put in place a system that's going to make it easier. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll probably benefit from the fact that the president is from Russia, so he's going to be able to help out quite a bit. So I have a feeling that it's going to be managed properly. That's my feeling.
Now, apart from all the visa issues and all the organizational issues, I'm just wondering how they're going to attract federations to come up to Siberia, where it's going to be minus 30 at this time next year. Has that issue come up?
Well, actually, that issue did come up, but we were assured that, this time around, the tournament will actually be organized in the Olympiad will be in September. And I understand that the weather in September is not that bad. It's relatively warm.
Okay.
So I hope,
it's not a minus 30, it's only minus 3 or...
No, I understand, actually it's going to be about, here it's going to be about between 10 and 15, I don't know how true that is.
Okay.
10 and 15, plus 10 and 15,
okay.
So I don't know how true that is, but we are sure that the weather will be sort of acceptable.
Okay, now let's move on to this Olympiad. There are, I believe, 24, 25 African federations, which is a good number. And there are several new federations that have either rejoined or joined for the first time. Can you give us an idea of who those federations are and what has been the progress made on the continent?
Well, in terms of the registered federations, basically who have attended the Olympiad, I think that the new ones you'd be looking at are Gabon and Ghana have been to the Olympiad before. But they sort of fell away, but they're sort of getting more and more organized. I have the pleasure of visiting Ghana, and I've met their ministry officials and the Olympic officials and also the federation. They even organized a tournament in my presence. And really, I was actually very impressed with, you know, the enthusiasm. I think that their problems were more a question of leadership and not the availability of leadership, but I think that sort of differences. But I think that after my visit, we've really sort of got to the core of the problem. And I think that we are really looking at Ghana playing a bigger role in chess in the region and also in Africa as a whole. And I think I've been very impressed with Eddie Thompson, the vice president of Chess Association of Ghana, and he's been very we've exchanged communication, and he's been very very sort of helpful, and he's really sort of led the line quite well as far as Ghana chess is concerned.
Mm-hmm. I understand that Sierra Leone was scheduled to be here.
Yeah.
I understand recently Cameroon and Liberia have established chess communities as well. Okay. What's the progress there?
Yeah, Cameroon have got, as far as the current situation is concerned, the actual new members are Cameroon, Gabon came on, in fact they had associate membership, but so they were able to participate. Then you had the Democratic Republic of Congo, they were admitted as new members as well. They actually put together a team, but I think because of the political problems, they were unable to travel. And then you've got Sao Tome and Principe. They're also a new member. They participated in the last two African Games.
Right,
but, yeah. But at that time, they were not affiliated to the World Chess Federation, to FIDE. So they got affiliation at this Congress. So they could have sent a team, and they were ready. They registered the team, and apparently they had some difficulties with visas and the problem we've been discussing. So essentially, with the four new members, I think that the FIDE family in Africa is growing. We've really got another 22 to sort of address. I'm due to travel to Liberia. And we've got a contact there whom we are looking at in terms of helping us set up a federation, because the presidential board mandated me to sort of go around and sort of encourage the formation of new federations and really help them get affiliated. The other program we are on is sort of looking at the old federations which are having problems in sort of keeping in touch with FIDE, paying their dues. You know, sometimes if we're sitting on the other side of the fence, and people tell you that, oh, you know, the fee is only 600 euro. Now, 600 euro in Europe, yeah, in Europe is nothing. But if you go to Africa, yeah, and you, where people have got different, you know, sort of, I don't say different priorities, but more pressing needs. Yeah, you know, 600 euro, even 1 euro is, you know, is a lot of money. And when you try and explain to some people in the Western world, you know, it's like. No, you know, people don't seem to understand, but you need to be there to appreciate the problem. And when you have federation, I mean, for example, the guys from Ghana and the guys from Gabon paid to travel here out of their own pockets. Now that you know, that's how seriously they regard their involvement in chess. Now, when you've got that kind of dedication, you know, you really feel for them and say, okay, fine, when we sit down, let us see how we can actually make things easier for them. There are other countries who have government support, and they ask for a ticket, and they are given tickets almost, you know, at will. Then there are others who have got companies. They've got companies who are willing to assist them. But you see, my view is that we must try and get government support, not necessarily in payment terms. If they can give the moral support and the institutional support, where they can get companies to help and say, they could call up some banks and say, look, we've got a team traveling, can you help them out? And you get a consortium, sometimes you get a consortium of you know, business houses to help out. That is going to really help us quite a lot.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. I want to ask you about one pressing issue concerning some of these forfeits that have been occurring in the tournament. Particularly, there have been cases of many federations, particularly the ones that are not as influential. What is this new ruling in terms of forfeiture? Could you briefly explain that to us and the repercussions of whether that's going to be passed?
Well, I think in a bid to really sort of improve the image of chess, you know, the presidential board looked at establishing a rule where anyone who is not on the board when the matches start forfeits that particular match. Now, the reason, there are various reasons you can look at, and you see we've got mitigating circumstances. But in terms of improving the image, we're looking at a situation of discipline and really sort of looking at, as far as the sponsors, organizers are concerned. There are arguments for and against, but basically the rule on a trial basis was implemented here. Okay. The rule hasn't really been passed as far as the General Assembly is concerned. It's been referred to the Presidential Board. There have been some surveys done, and we're going to look at it again. But as a trial, this was as a trial to really look at how that's going to be, you know, sort of fair with the players and the captains. And as a survey has been done, we will be getting a report at the next Presidential Board to see what the feelings of the players and the captains and basically organizers. And then I think that after that, a decision will be made to whether to implement it from the 1st of July. So this was more on a trial basis. I know that it's caught out quite a few federations, but I think that the intention is good.
Okay.
It's a question of really sort of practically applying it. That is where the difficulty is. And also really being uniform, you know, the uniform application of the rule.
Okay. In terms of your tenure in FIDE, how long will you be in office, and after that term is finished, what kind of future do you have in chess?
Well, I mean, I've got another 2 years. We come up for re-election at the next Olympiad in I think Handymasisk. I think that on my part, whether I stay in FIDE or whether I go and do something else, it really depends on what we discuss with the president. But on my part, I'll continue being involved in chess, whether in Zambia and in Africa as a whole. I'm actually long-term looking at setting up an academy, and when I have the time. At the moment, I'm traveling a lot, but my intention is to set up an academy in Zambia, it's called Akata, for Africa as a whole. So I'm halfway. I've spoken to a few guys interested in working with me on that. So that's in the long term, that's what I'm looking at. So whether I'm in FIDE or out of FIDE, I'll continue being involved in chess.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing more from Zambia. I know you have some talented players coming out. Hopefully, Simatowe can get the last few points so he can become the first Grandmaster of Zambia. And I'd like to congratulate you for all you've done for Zambia.
I think that with Simto is going to really be a big plus for Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and the application has already been put in. I think that at the end of this General Assembly is going to have